A Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome, everyone. Today, we're diving deep into, well, let's face it, a topic most people find either really boring or really infuriating, taxes.
Or maybe both. But we're looking at it through a fascinating lens. Stephen Smith's book, Taxation. A very short introduction.
Exactly. And Smith makes this really compelling case that taxation isn't just about filling government coffers, you know?
Not at all. He argues it's much deeper. It's like the DNA of a society. How it decides to fund itself reveres its core values.
Absolutely. Forget the lofty speeches, he says. If you want to know what a country really cares about, fairness, economic growth, the environment, look at its tax system.
It's all about choices and, crucially, compromises. And Smith gives us the toolkit to understand these often really difficult trade-offs.
So who is Stephen Smith? What makes him the right guide for this?
Well, he's a heavyweight in the field, professor of economics at University College London, a real expert in public finance.
Okay, strong academic credentials. But you mentioned something else.
Yes, and this is key. His long connection with the Institute for Fiscal Studies, the IFS in the UK.
Ah, the IFS. Mm-hmm. They're known for being fiercely independent.
Right.
Very data-driven.
Exactly. Nonpartisan, evidence-based. So Smith brings this blend of, you know, rigorous economic theory and a deep understanding of how tax policy actually plays out in the real world.
He bridges that gap between the blackboard models and, well, the messy reality of budgets and politics.
Precisely. He knows the theory, but he also knows why perfect theoretical taxes often don't quite work out when they meet political resistance or have unexpected economic consequences.
So he's grounded in reality, which brings us to the book's central idea, this core tension he keeps coming back to. What is it?
It's this constant balancing act. Every tax system everywhere is basically trying to juggle two big principles, efficiency and equity.
Efficiency and equity. Okay, let's break those down a bit. Efficiency is about what? Raising money without messing up the economy too much.
Yeah, that's the gist. You want to collect the revenue you need with the minimum possible economic distortion, avoiding what economists call dead weight loss.
Right. That's when a tax is so, say, high or badly designed that it stops people from doing something productive, like working overtime or investing.
Exactly. The government gets some tax, maybe, but the overall economic pie actually shrinks because that activity just doesn't happen. That's inefficiency.
Okay, makes sense. And the other side of the coin is equity, which is all about fairness, right?
Correct. But fairness itself is complicated. It's about how the tax burden is distributed across society, who should pay, and how much.
And Smith argues that most public debates get stuck here, shouting about one side or the other.
Pretty much. People tend to focus on either it's unfair or it'll kill jobs. Smith's framework helps us see that it's almost always a trade-off. More of one often means less of the other. There's no single perfect system, just different choices reflecting different priorities.
So let's dig into the mechanics. Why do we even need taxes in the first place? Compulsory taxes, I mean.
Well, the fundamental reason, economically speaking, is to pay for public goods.
Things like national defense, the courts, maybe clean air regulations, stuff we all benefit from. But you can't really exclude anyone from using.
Exactly. They're non-excludable and non-rivalrous. My benefiting from the army doesn't stop you from benefiting.
Which leads to the classic free rider problem.
Right. If I get the benefit anyway, why would I chip in voluntarily? Rationally, I wouldn't. So compulsion through taxes is the only reliable way to fund these essential state functions.
Okay, so taxes are necessary. But how do we design them? Smith brings up some foundational principles.
He does. He refers back to Adam Smith's canons, actually. But the crucial ones for modern debates really revolve around equity.
You mentioned fairness is complex. How does he break it down?
He talks about two main types. Horizontal equity is the easier one, conceptually. It just means similar people in similar circumstances should pay similar amounts of tax. Seems fair enough, right?
Yeah, that sounds pretty straightforward.
But the real political battleground is vertical equity. This is the idea that people with a greater ability to pay higher income, more wealth, should contribute a larger proportion of that income or wealth in taxes.
Ah, so that's the principle behind progressive income tax systems.
Yeah.
Where the percentage rate goes up as income rises.
Precisely. It's based on that ability to pay idea. And this leads us straight into one of the most important, maybe counterintuitive concepts in the book, Tax incidence.
Tax incidence. Okay, what does that mean exactly?
It means figuring out who actually bears the economic burden of a tax, which isn't necessarily the person or company legally required to hand over the money to the government.
Wait, really? I always assumed if, say, a corporation pays corporation tax, then the corporation bears the cost.
Well, Smith argues that's often a simplification, especially in open competitive markets. The legal liability is one thing, the economic burden is another. Market forces can shift that burden around.
So who does end up paying then?
It depends on the tax in the market, but the cost can be shifted. Let's look at specific taxes to see how this works.
Good idea. Let's start with income tax. That seems like a clear case of trying to achieve that vertical equity you mentioned.
Definitely. Progressive income tax with higher rates for higher earners is designed explicitly for vertical equity, but there's the efficiency trade-off.
The deadweight loss again.
Wow.
If the rates get too high, especially the marginal rate, the tax on the next dollar you earn.
Exactly. If that marginal rate is very high, it can create a significant disincentive to work more or take risks or invest. So the push for fairness can potentially dampen overall economic activity. It's that constant tension.
Okay, what about consumption taxes, like VAT value-added tax?
Yeah.
All the countries rely heavily on those.
They do. And VAT is often seen as quite efficient. It raises a lot of revenue, and it's relatively hard to avoid because it's built into the price of goods and services.
But there's always a but, isn't there?
The big drawback with VAT and similar sales taxes is that they tend to be regressive.
Meaning they hit lower-income people harder.
Yes, proportionally. Poorer households tend to spend almost everything they earn just to get by. Wealthier households save and invest a larger chunk of their income. So the VAT represents a much bigger slice of a poor family's budget than a rich one's. Efficient, maybe, but it clashes strongly with vertical equity.
Right. And then there's corporate tax. Always a hot political topic. Tax the big companies more. But based on this incidence idea, who really pays?
This is where incidence becomes absolutely crucial. Smith makes it clear, the economic cost of a tax on corporate profits doesn't just stick to the company's bottom line, it gets passed on.
Passed on how? And to whom?
It can go in several directions. Companies might pass it on to consumers through higher prices, or they might squeeze workers through lower wages or fewer benefits. Or it could fall on shareholders, the owners, through lower dividends or a lower share price.
So the burden gets diffused. It's not just the corporation paying. It could be their customers, their employees, or their investors, or some mix of all three.
Exactly. And the exact split depends on things like how competitive the market is, how mobile capital is, how strong unions are. It's complicated.
Wow. That completely changes how you think about political promises to hike corporate taxes, doesn't it? It might not hit who you think it's hitting.
It absolutely does. Understanding incidence lets you see past the political rhetoric and ask, okay, where will this burden actually land in the economy? It's a vital tool for clear thinking.
Okay, so taxes raise money, but they also have these complex effects. What about using taxes deliberately to change behavior?
Ah, yes. Corrective taxation, sometimes called Pigouvian taxes, after the economist Arthur Pigou.
These aren't primarily about raising revenue, are they? They're about fixing a problem.
Precisely. They're designed to make people or companies pay for the negative side effects, the externalities their actions impose on others, to make them internalize that cost.
The obvious example today is a carbon tax.
Perfect example. Pollution imposes costs on society, climate change, health problems.
Mm-hmm.
A carbon tax forces emitters to pay for that damage, creating a direct financial incentive to pollute less and invest in cleaner technologies.
Or you might see sin taxes on things like tobacco or sugary drinks.
Same principle. Trying to discourage consumption that leads to public health costs. It's using the tax system not just to fund the government, but actively shape behavior.
But even if a tax makes perfect economic sense, like maybe a carbon tax, it still has to survive the political process.
And that brings us to a cautionary tale Smith highlights. The UK's infamous community charge, better known as the poll tax.
Right, that was hugely controversial in the late 80s, early 90s. What was the idea behind it?
From a purely theoretical efficiency standpoint, it had some logic. It was a flat rate tax levied on every adult. Simple, hard to avoid. It was meant to make local government funding directly visible and accountable to every voter. Maximum efficiency, minimum deadweight loss, in theory.
Sounds efficient on paper. So why was it such a disaster?
Yeah.
Protests, riots.
Because it completely disregarded equity, specifically the ability to pay principal. A millionaire paid the exact same amount as someone on minimum wage. people saw it as fundamentally outrageously unfair.
It violated that vertical equity principle we talked about earlier in a really stark way.
Hugely. And the public reaction was massive. It led to mass non-payment, huge protests, and ultimately played a big part in Margaret Thatcher losing power.
So the lesson there is, you can't just design taxes in an economic vacuum.
Absolutely not. Smith's point is crystal clear. Economic efficiency is necessary, but it's not sufficient. A tax system also needs to be seen as broadly fair and command public consent to be sustainable. Political reality trumps theoretical purity every time.
Okay, reflecting on all this, what are the main messages we should take away from Smith's analysis?
I think there are three really big ones. First and foremost is that equity versus efficiency trade-off. It's inescapable. Every tax choice involves balancing these competing goals. Mm. Look at any country's tax system, and you can see the choices and compromises it's made.
So ask yourself, what does my country's tax system seem to prioritize more? Fairness or economic efficiency?
Mm-hmm.
It tells you something important.
Second takeaway, taxation is economic engineering. Taxes aren't just passive revenue collectors. They're powerful tools governments use to steer the economy, encouraging things like R&D through tax credits, discouraging things like smoking through high duties. Tax policy really does reflect a society's values and its vision for the future.
And the third key theme.
It has to be tax incidents, understanding that hidden burden. Yeah. Remember, the person or company legally liable for the tax often isn't the one who ultimately bears the full economic cost.
Right. Don't just look at the name on the tax law. Think about where the market will shift that cost. That's crucial for cutting through political spin.
Definitely.
Smith's book, even though it's short, packs in some really memorable ideas. Let's pull out a few core quotes or concepts.
Okay. One that captures the core dilemma is basically, the design of any tax system is ultimately a series of compromises between the competing and often contradictory goals of efficiency and fairness. There just isn't a perfect solution that maximizes both.
That's a good summary of the main tension. What about incidents?
On that, the key idea is, the legal liability for a tax tells you nothing, or very little, about who truly bears its economic burden. The market shifts the cost, not the law.
That's a powerful one to remember. And the political lesson.
That comes straight from the poll tax experience.
Mm-hmm.
A tax that is economically efficient but politically unacceptable is ultimately a bad tax. You need public consent. Perceived justice matters just as much as the economics.
So this isn't just theory. How can listeners use these ideas in everyday life, as citizens, as voters?
Well, it equips you to be a much more critical consumer of political news and promises. When you hear a politician propose cutting a tax, you can now ask, okay, how does this affect vertical equity? Who benefits most? What's the likely efficiency gain or loss, the deadweight loss?
And crucially, if they're cutting revenue, what spending gets cut? Or what other tax goes up? It forces a more complete picture.
Exactly. Or if they propose a new tax, especially on business, you can immediately think about incidents. Okay, legally it's on the company. But who will really end up paying? Consumers. Workers.
Mm-hmm.
Shareholders.
It even changes how you look at a shopping receipt, doesn't it? Seeing the VAT line.
It does. You realize, first, you're acting as a sort of tax collector for the state. But second, you understand why that VAT feels like it takes a bigger bite out of your budget if you're on a lower income. You see the regressive nature right there.
So overall, the book helps you move from just being, you know, someone who pays taxes passively to someone who actually understands the machinery behind it.
Yeah, the mechanics, the ethics, the politics. It demystifies one of the most fundamental powers of the state. It makes the complex more understandable.
Thinking back on it, what was the most surprising thing for you or the biggest insight? For me, I think it really was the incidence of corporate tax. How that burden gets spread around, I hadn't fully appreciated how much it complicates the simple narrative.
That's a big one. For me, it's perhaps the clarity of that central trade-off, equity versus efficiency. Smith makes it so clear that there are no easy answers, just difficult choices.
Mm-hmm.
And that the way a society makes those choices, what it taxes and how, really does reveal its fundamental character. It's like reading the state's DNA.
That's a great way to put it. And it leaves us with a final thought, perhaps. As the economy changes, globalization, the rise of the digital economy, multinational companies shifting profits, these tax systems are under constant pressure, aren't they?
Absolutely. Tax havens figuring out how to tax giant tech companies that operate across borders. These are huge challenges. The systems have to keep evolving.
Which means having an informed public, one that understands these basic principles of efficiency, equity, and incidence, is more important than ever if we want sensible reforms.
Couldn't agree more. It's essential for moving beyond simplistic slogans towards tax policies that are both effective and broadly seen as fair.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.